Welcome to Eternal Truth Radio program brought to you by the Mill Street Church of Christ. The Mill Street Church of Christ meets at 415 North Mill Street in London, Kentucky. We assemble on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. for Bible study, 10:50 a.m. for worship, as well as 6 o'clock p.m. on Sunday evenings for evening worship. We also meet on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for a midweek Bible study. We'd be delighted to have you with us for any of these services. Should you like to have someone come to your home and study the Bible with you, or a free copy of today's program, or a free copy of a Bible lesson through the mail, or if you have Bible questions, requests can be made by calling 234-5055 or 878-6108, or we can be reached on email at millstreetcoc@windstream.net. You might also pay us a visit online at our website at www.millstreetcoc.org. That's www.millstreetcoc.org, where you can listen to sermons and read articles on various Bible topics. Eternal Truth can be heard each Sunday morning from 9:30 to 10 o'clock on 1400 AM, WFTG. We invite you to continue listening and tell others about the program. And now, let's look into God's eternal truth together.
Welcome to another edition of Eternal Truth Radio Broadcast. I'm Donnie Oliver. I'm so very thankful, listeners, that you have decided to be with us on the program today, and we want you to know how appreciative we are for that. And we count it as a great opportunity and privilege that God has blessed us with, that we could spend this time together with you in a study of God's Word. We want you to know that if you have questions regarding the things on the program, that we don't want you to hesitate to contact us. You're more than welcome to contact us with your Bible questions, and we'll do our very best to give you a book, chapter, and verse Bible answer for those questions. If you listen to the program today and your desire is that you would like to have a free copy of the program on CD, or perhaps a correspondence course through the mail so that you can study the Bible further in the privacy of your own home, or perhaps you need a Bible, all of those things can be sent to you at absolutely no cost. All you have to do is contact us and let us know your desire to have those materials. Our contact information is 234-5055, or you might give us a call at 878-6108. So you feel free to contact us day or night if we can be of assistance to you in your further studies of God's Word. Let me also encourage you that if you'd like to study the Bible with us, we stand at the ready to do that. We'll come to your home and meet with you. We'll sit down with an open heart and an open Bible, and we'll investigate what the Bible says together. And we'll take a look at what the Scriptures teach, and we'll study with you and your home, or you and your family. We'll even study with you and your preacher at your home or any place else that you would like to meet with us and study the Bible together. We want you to know that we are here for you. We'll study with you and assist you in whatever way that we can in your obedience to the gospel of Christ. So again, please don't hesitate to give us a call if we can assist you along those lines. On the last few weeks, we have been dealing with the Lord's Prayer as recorded in the 17th chapter of the book of John. Now, many times again, as I have stated on the previous programs, when individuals think about the Lord's Prayer, oftentimes their minds go to what is stated in Matthew chapter 6 or Luke chapter 4 when Jesus was teaching the disciples how to pray. And he told them, after this manner pray ye, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. That is really a model prayer, though, that the Lord gave to the disciples in order to teach them how to pray. But on this program, as we're dealing with the Lord's Prayer, we are dealing with a prayer that Jesus prayed that's recorded for us in the 17th chapter of John. And of course, he prayed this before he was put to death and suspended on the cross, before he died, he prayed this prayer, and we can learn many things from it. Again, I challenge you, as I have on previous programs, to look at the 17th chapter of John, and you write down all the things that you can learn from that chapter. I challenge you to do that and then to make a comparison to what we present on the program to see if any of the things you came up with are the same as the things that I present on the program. So again, open your Bibles to John chapter 17. Get your eyes on the text. And we're not going to read through the entire chapter because we did that on the first program. But I want us to look at what we can learn from this prayer, from this chapter today. Now, we've already dealt with the fact that Jesus, while he was on the earth, again, this is before he was put to death, that Jesus directed this prayer to God the Father who is in heaven. That shows us very clearly that God the Father and God the Son are not the same individuals. There's many people that teach that today. But you can't read this chapter and walk away from it believing that God the Father and God the Son are the very same person. Jesus, as is stated very clearly in the 17th chapter and verse number 1, prayed to the Father who is in heaven. Well, not only that, but we learn that Jesus is praying on behalf of the apostles. That's about the first half of the chapter. And then beginning in verse number 20 of John chapter 17, the Lord begins to pray on behalf of all those who would believe on him through the word of the apostles. Again, you find that in verse number 20. Well, not only did we look at that, but we also looked at the fact that Jesus is eternal. We looked at the fact that Jesus prayed for the unity of the disciples and that he left the glory of heaven and the joys of heaven in order to come here and pay that price that he did on the cross of Calvary. And he did that because of his love for mankind, of his love for doing the will of the Father. And so he did that for you and for me. And for everyone else. In fact, the Hebrew writer stated in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 9 that Jesus tasted death for every man. Well, on today's program, I want us to direct our attention to a statement that the Lord made in John chapter 17 and in verse number 17. Jesus said in this verse, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Now, there's a couple of things that we can learn from that, and I want us to give our attention to that simple verse, again, that is recorded in John 17, and in verse number 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." There's many individuals who do not believe in the truthfulness of the Scriptures. They do not believe that the Bible is true. But yet there is no mistaking the fact that all Scripture, all of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, has been given by the inspiration of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16, the Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Then he goes on in verse number 17 to say that the man of God may be perfect, fully furnished unto all good works. And so all of the Scriptures, both the Old and the New, has been given by the inspiration of God. That word inspiration simply means that it was breathed forth from the mouth of God. And in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, Peter makes a statement concerning inspiration. Notice what he stated. He says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." That means that the writers of the Bible, and here in the context of this, he's talking about the prophecy of the Old Testament. He's saying that those men did not write according to their own thinking, according to their own thoughts, but they were moved, directed by the Holy Spirit. And so that speaks to the inspiration of the Scriptures in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 23, and in verse number 1. David is making a statement in this passage, and notice what he stated. Again, that's 2 Samuel chapter 23, and in verse number 1 beginning, notice this. Now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, the sweet psalmist of Israel said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue. That's talking about inspiration. So we understand then that the Bible is the inspired, infallible Word of God. Not only that, we need to understand that God's complete, final revelation to man is contained in the Bible. That means that there are no more revelations today. All that God wanted us to know is completely contained in the Bible. Now someone says, well, does that mean that the Bible tells us everything? Well, it doesn't tell us everything, perhaps that things that we can't see or things that we don't know, but the things that God wanted us to know, here's the point. The things that God saw fit for us to know and that are necessary to our salvation and to us living a godly life before God is contained and revealed in the Bible. Now, the Bible in the Old Testament speaks about the fact that there are hidden things or secret things. When he says that the secret things are known by God, but the things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children, that we may do all the words of this law. And of course, that's in reference to the Old Testament, but that teaches us that there are some things that are known only to God. But the things that God wanted us to know are completely revealed in the Bible. Now, I direct your attention for that to Jude, the verse number 3. There's only one chapter of Jude, and so notice what the Bible says in Jude verse number 3. Jude said, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now that word once in Jude verse number 3 means one time, once and for all. Delivered to the saints. Now listen, when the Bible was completed and it had been written down, that ended direct revelation to man. The Bible contains all that God wanted us to know. And so when someone says today, well, the Lord spoke to me. Well, they're not telling you the truth because God speaks today to us by His Word. Not in an audible voice like I'm speaking to you on this radio program. So we need to understand that the Word of God is inspired, the Bible is inspired, and it's complete. Now if you notice what Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse number 3, he says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to what? To life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. In other words, God did not give us some things. He did not give us a few things, but He gave us all things that are necessary to life and godliness. And that's contained, listener, in the Bible. And so Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You know what the truth will do for you and it'll do for me? It'll make us free from sin. Jesus stated that in John 8:32, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free, make you free. In other words, it will deliver us from the consequence of sin when we hear it, believe it, and obey it. It's just that simple. That's what the truth will do. You know, the Bible contains a message, contains a word that no other book can accomplish. You can look to the writings of men the world over, and none of them can accomplish what the Bible accomplishes. You know, Paul stated in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." The Bible contains a message that far surpasses that of any other message on the earth. It has the ability, the power, to save individuals when they hear it, believe it, and obey it. And so we can rely on the Scriptures. They're from God, and they thoroughly equip us, or completely equip us, to every good work, as we noticed just a moment ago in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse number 17. Now going back to John chapter 17 and in verse number 17, Jesus said again, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Now listen, the word sanctify comes from a Greek word that simply means to be set apart. Now in the Bible, it typically has reference to being set apart for a particular use or purpose. In John chapter 17 and verse number 17, it's a verb. It shows forth action. This means it entails the doing of something. You know, in the New Testament, the English word sanctified often was translated from another Greek word that was simply just the noun form of it, and it has reference to a thing or often something that one possesses. For example, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and in verse number 3, the Bible says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification and honor." When we are sanctified, that means that we are set apart for the service of God. We are set apart for His particular use. We're sanctified. You know, the word saint simply means to be sanctified, again, which means to be set apart. And when Paul was writing to those at Rome, do you remember how he addressed them? Turn, if you will, to Romans chapter 1. In the book of Romans chapter 1, Paul stated in verse number 7 of Romans 1, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Now notice what he says. He says that they were called to be saints. That means that they were sanctified, set apart for God's particular use. And that's contained in the Bible. But the Bible teaches that without the shed blood of Christ, there is no way, listener, that one could be sanctified. In the book of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 12, the Bible says, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate." But the question becomes then, since Jesus has shed his blood on the cross for all people, Hebrews 2 verse 9, how does one access the benefits of the shed blood of Christ? We are only sanctified as a result of what Jesus did on the cross. We are only sanctified as a result of the Word of God. That's what Jesus stated in John 17, verse 17. "Sanctify them through thy word." Thy word, or through thy truth rather, thy word is truth. Well, we understand that there are people who are saved and there are people who are lost. Not everyone is going to obey the gospel. I wish that they did. I wish that they would. But the reality is, not everybody is going to be saved. Jesus made that very clear in Matthew chapter 25 when he talks about the judgment day. And that there was going to be a great resurrection. Those people were going to be, some were going to be on the right, some were going to be on the left. Those on the right were going to hear those words, "Come, you blessed my Father," while those on the left are going to hear those dreadful words, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." So we understand that not everybody is going to be saved. Well, Jesus died and shed his blood for everyone. So how is it then that we can have access to the benefits of God's grace, which was the sending of His Son who died on the cross? You know, the Bible says very clearly in Titus chapter 2 and in verse number 11, "For the grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all." So we understand that God loved the world and that He sent His Son into the world to be a propitiation for us. And that word propitiation means a covering. He died, He tasted death for every man, He shed His blood for every man, and so God's grace was bestowed upon all mankind, but yet all mankind is not saved. So then, what do we have to do in order to be sanctified by the Word of God? The answer to that is very simple, listeners. We must obey what God has said to do. And God has been very clear in His Word, in telling us what we must do in order to have our sins forgiven. Beginning in Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached that first gospel sermon on that day of Pentecost, there was about 3,000 people that heard his message and obeyed it. And I don't know how many individuals was assembled in the city of Jerusalem, but we understand that there was a multitude of nationalities there. And all these Jews, men, devout men, out of every nation under heaven, were assembled at the city of Jerusalem. And they heard that gospel sermon that Peter preached. And as he preached to them about Jesus and the fact that by wicked hands he was put to death, and that by the power of God he was resurrected, and now he's seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, the Bible says when they heard this, Acts 2:36, they were pricked in the heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They wanted to know what they had to do to have their sins forgiven. What did they have to do to have the benefits of what Jesus did on the cross? And Peter answered that by saying, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And you know what the Bible says took place on that day? The Bible says that they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That's Acts chapter 2 and verse number 41. In verse number 47, the Bible says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." What did they do in order to have their sins forgiven? They heard the gospel, they believed it, and they obeyed it. They repented of their sins, and they were baptized for the remission of their sins. And you can go all the way through the book of Acts, and I encourage you to do this, listeners. And you look at all those examples of people who were converted. The Jews in Acts chapter 2, the people of the city of Samaria, in Acts chapter 8, Simon in Acts chapter 8, the eunuch in Acts the 8th chapter, Saul in Acts chapter 9, the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10, Lydia of Acts chapter 16, the Philippian jailer of Acts chapter 16. When you go to Acts chapter 18, you read about the conversion of the Corinthians, and then the conversion of the Ephesians in Acts chapter 19. When you look at all those examples of conversion, every single one of them were baptized for the remission of their sins. They heard the gospel. They believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Jesus commanded that, John chapter 8, verse number 24. They repented of their sins, also commanded by the Lord, Luke 13 and verse number 3. They made their confession before others that they believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That was commanded by Christ, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. The eunuch did that very thing in Acts 8, and verse number 37, it's recorded. And again, they were baptized for the remission of their sins. Jesus commanded that, Mark chapter 16, and in verse number 16. In the book of Acts chapter 10, and in verse number 48, the Bible says very simply in that passage, He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, then prayed they Him to tarry certain days. That's what you have to do in order to be sanctified. And that comes as a result of what the Scriptures teach. When you obey that, then all of your past sins are forgiven, and you are sanctified or set apart for God's use. I hope that the lesson has been of benefit to you. Next week, we'll continue our look at John chapter 17 with Some other points that we can learn from this chapter. Again, I encourage you to read the chapter and write down the things that you can learn from John chapter 17. If you have questions for us, please don't hesitate to contact us, 234-5055. Until next time, thank you for being with us on the program.
You've been listening to Eternal Truth Radio program brought to you each Sunday morning at this same time by the Mill Street Church of Christ. We appreciate you listening to the program and encourage you to continue doing so each Lord's Day. Be sure to tell others about the program, and if we can be of assistance to you in your obedience to the gospel of Christ, give us a call at 234-5055 or 878-6108. And until next week, spend time meditating on God's eternal truth.